is His messenger. And we pray, O Allah, let your prayer, your peace, and your blessing be upon your servant and your messenger Muhammad, and upon his family and all of his companions. Ameen. Dear Muslims, I remind you and I remind myself to continue to remember Allah and to continue to strive for a deeper understanding of the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have revealed to us. And I remind you and I remind myself to take advantage of every opportunity that life itself presents to us, to offer a deed that is good. I remind you and I remind myself that life is short, that we come in before we know it, and we live and our youth is gone before we know it. Our health is gone before we know it. Our wealth, well, if we have any, is gone before we know it. And then one day our life is gone before we know it. And I remind you and I remind myself that the circumstances that we face in life are going to be filled with trials and pleasure. In Hadith Qudsi, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah said to him, or told him, that he said to Jibreel, the angel, the chief angel, the one who brings messages to the messengers, the head of the angels, the one whose wings expand across the very horizon, Jibreel alayhi salam, the one who is a friend of Allah and His messenger, the one whom we will fear if we were to see him. Jibreel, the one who brought the first revelation to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ikra bismi rabbika. Ikra bismi rabbika Allah. That Jibreel, the messenger who goes to the messengers. Allah sent Jibreel to look at heaven and hell. And when He sent Jibreel to look at heaven, heaven was surrounded or encircled by trials and difficulties. And He sent him to look at hell. Now this is only for people who believe in these things, heaven and hell. For those who don't, this is inconsequential. It may seem like just myth. Time runs out and time tells all. Hell was surrounded by lust. And you know, we can lust for a lot of things. Some of us lust for power. Some of us lust for wealth. You know what lust is? Lust is an uncontrollable appetite for something. Something that preoccupies your mind all the time. Lust. You know? And it usually takes you from a high station to a low station. Lust. It usually gets you in a lot of trouble. Lust. Lust breaks up that which should be held together. Lust. So, hell was surrounded by lust. But you know, it's something about lust. Lust is very appealing because it appeals to your pleasure. It appeals to your basic appetites. It appeals to your emotions. Lust avoids your reason. Lust avoids your intellect. But lust goes around that and goes right to your desires. Lust will take what is lawful and reshape it into something that is unlawful. And Allah says that we have lawful right to our mates, both male and females. The woman has a right to her husband and the husband has a right to his wife. Or wives, whatever the case may be. But lust tells you that you should sample other things. Lust tells you that perhaps you should just, live for today and let tomorrow take care of itself. Kind of live for the moment. So hell was surrounded by lust. And heaven is surrounded by trials and difficulties. And we all have to face trials and difficulties. That's just a part of life. Some trials are greater than others. Some difficulties are greater than others. And for those of us who have been to this point free from overwhelming difficulties, we should never forget those who are experiencing great difficulties. As we see in Lebanon today, the Lebanese are experiencing great difficulties. The Lebanese Christians, the Lebanese Muslims, the Lebanese, and all of their guests are experiencing horrible difficulties today. Unfortunately, the difficulty that they are facing is just another chapter in a series of difficulties because of the way man and his lust expresses itself. It may express itself in the dignified and sanctified halls of government, but the lust for other people's property still expresses itself the same way and ends up with the same results. Whether we're lusting for people's oil, whether we're lusting to control the regions of the world, lust is lust, and it produces the same results. And trials are trials. And all of those who have to go through trials as a result of lust, we should never forget the people that are going through trials. And we shouldn't want to replace the difficulties that one group of people are feeling and put them over on someone else. Because as in Lebanon, I didn't come to Jummah necessarily to talk about Lebanon, but Jummah stands as a platform to discuss current affairs and the remembrance of Allah, community issues and those things that will affect us. And if you think that what is going on is not going to affect us, I think we need to rethink our positions, because it will affect us. It is affecting us in one way, shape, form, or another. And, matter of fact, I had intended to report back in some small degree on my visit to Yile, the Bonkalinke chiefdom in Sierra Leone, West Africa, where the byproduct of lust is also making its mark. But lust can be overcome. And through patience, Allah says, "Inna Allah ma'a sabreen," that surely Allah is with the patient and the persevering. And patience and persevering is not inactivity and lack of concern, but it is constantly moving forward and staying on course and not giving up and not being pulled off course, irregardless to the difficulties that are in front of us. "Inna Allah ma'a sabreen," and Allah is with the patient. So believers, I remind you and I remind myself, let us not forget the plight of people that are suffering. And let us not try to qualify our sympathies only for those who share our system of belief. Our sympathy, in order to be legitimate, must extend itself to all of God's creation and all of His creatures, whether their system of belief is like ours or not. What we ask Allah for is the relief of oppression and the circumstances brought on by the lust and greed for power that affects all people on all sides. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about circumstances that mirror or reflect a just application of laws and the just use and occupation of this earth that we live on. We ask Allah for justice and mercy. Justice and mercy. We want justice and mercy for the child in Yile, the Bonkalinke chiefdom in Sierra Leone, who have lost his or her parents and perhaps an arm because of the lust and the greed of man. We want justice and peace and reconciliation for the children, though they may be Arab Christian, sitting in the street in Taif, Israel, from the impact of a bomb or a missile that was been fired over on them from the Hezbollah. We want justice, peace, reconciliation, and the ceasing of the massive destruction that is heaped upon innocent people, not combatants, just people, period, the whole infrastructure, government and everything. We want justice and peace, and we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about a condition through the hands of man or whatever means he chooses to do it, to cease this aggressive overuse of our tax-paid-for munitions. We're a part of that. And we have to recognize that. That when you pay your taxes, that those who oversee our budgets are doing their dirty deeds, their unjust deeds, their lustful deeds in our name. And I don't care if it's our nation or if it is a proxy of our nation. And the state of Israel is a proxy of our nation. And I don't agree with the overuse. I don't agree. And I go on record. I'm not so open-minded that my brain is falling out. No. No. Because what we see shows no regard at all for the innocent. None whatsoever. No regard whatsoever for the weak. None whatsoever, no matter how it is determined. And our government is standing by, letting the pit bulls run and have their day. This is not right. Our government remains silent. Some of the most articulate people on the planet, who know every nuance about words and language in many languages, are sitting silent. And when we do these things, as you and I, if we sit silent and not make an outcry to those who represent us and tell them that we want them to act on our behalf and on our interests and that we are not in agreement. The Prophet Muhammad says, when you see a wrong, speak out. Act out. But if you just sit by and say, oh, that's too bad. Yeah, you may have your heart that is not in it. But that's the weakest form of faith. Weakest form of faith. And Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, stand up for justice, even if it be against yourself, rich or poor, near of kin. But God is the Lord of everybody. Yeah. So systematically, somehow, some way, write your letters, make your phone calls. These are things that you can do. Call your embassy if you feel that you are not a citizen here. Call your embassy. Make a protest. This is more than just defensive. This is offensive and offensive because of the degree of destruction to a democratically established government and a democratic country. The fledgling country of Lebanon. Yes. So whoever is on whatever side of the extremes, we have to stand against extremes. We have to stand against extremes. As individuals, as taxpayers, as voters, as citizens, as students, we have to get behind a movement that says, not in our name, not this, not this. In any war situation, there's a standard of conduct and behavior. And civilians are supposed to be off limits. Civilian infrastructure, hospitals and those types of things are supposed to be off limits. And to whom much is given, much is required. And if any nation claims to be at the pinnacle of civilization, at the highest point of civilization, then we expect the highest act of civility from that nation. Period. You can't say that you're the highest pinnacle of civilization on the one hand, and then act as though you are at the very bottom of civilization on the other hand, and justify it. No. No. Come on now. So all of you who can vote, if you don't vote, you have voted. You have voted. If you don't participate in the governmental structure and system that can impact those who impact those who do their deeds, then you are voting by your inactivity. You are voting by your inactivity. And if you are patronizing those institutions and businesses that boast arrogantly of their lack of concern for human life except their own, greedy for their own life and careless for other people's lives, we are voting with our dollar. Yes, we vote with our dollar. We vote with our voice and our hands. Yes. So we need to look at what are we supporting? Because on the day of judgment, God Almighty is going to look at every ethnicity of everything that we do. We have to stop and think, what am I supporting here? When I buy a cup of Starbucks, what am I supporting? Go online and read the statement by the chief executive officer of Starbucks. He's not calling for justice, balance, and self-defense. He's using by any means necessary. No, not by any means necessary, by any just resolve, but any just means necessary. Hey, I'm just reminding you and I'm reminding myself. And this is one thing that this journey to Africa caused me to see and understand, among other things, that we don't have the right in this country where we reside. We really are illegitimate in our complaints about material things and frivolous things that we make all this noise about. We're illegitimate. When you look at the condition of some of our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be across this planet, but particularly in that particular village where I was in Africa, where just the first to have reading materials, educational materials, and opportunities for the children was immense. The desire for the people to get from under the grip of the lustful people who are taking the resources away from their land and they not benefiting from it. The desire of the people to work in harmony and to try to overcome the divisiveness of religion when people use religion as a means of separating one from the other. They're determined to get away from that. Because through those means, the lustful one and the surreptitious one use those means to cause us to stop identifying with each other and identify with a flag that they put up. When you have Christians and Muslims and Jews of goodwill and good standing not identifying and recognizing the value and legitimacy of each other because of a national politic. A national politic that not only suggests, but explicitly states that less than human are those on the other side of the border. When you have little children, go on the line, go online, go on the internet, look up ABC or CBS one of ABC.com. When you have little children writing on bombs, projectiles, artillery shells, children, mind you, who should be kept away from that area and dealing with them from a whole nother area, but children who have been given the idea that they should write messages on the missiles or on the artillery shells to send them to the other side, to those children. What a gift. I'm sending you a gift in the form of an artillery shell. Now, if you teach your children that, what are you really perpetuating? And it doesn't matter which side it was. Either side, what are you teaching the children? That they should grow in hatred and that they should never see the other side as human and that there is no possibility ever for reconciliation. You've created in Gothic proportions, that is large proportions, you have created the boogeyman, the monster. And if we play into that to the degree that we too, as Muslims, allow ourselves to succumb to unbridled hatred to the degree that we see no possibility of ever seeing another person outside of our own sphere of reality as human, that is willing to extend the hand, that may influence a policy. If we do not engage ourselves with other people, then we are playing right into the hands of those who would love to see all of us annihilated. Annihilated. We hardly get to see, and this is one thing that I enjoyed about my trip to Africa. We lived in the village, not in the city. We slept with the people. We walked with the people. We talked to the people. We did everything except drink the water, because we couldn't drink the water. We had to drink our own water, you know? But we were there with them, the real people. We had the opportunity to engage them, to see the joy in their eyes, because they, I'll tell you this, the people in the villages love you. They do. And we don't often get to see the people. We always see the prepackaged, politically correct announcements on behalf of people. But you need to get to see the people. We don't get to see the Israeli citizen who lost his son, who says, I'm tired of it. We don't get to see the Israeli child who says, my mother is dead. I don't know what to do. We don't get to see the child on the other side in Lebanon who's blown to pieces, 5, 6 years old, don't even know what it's all about. What we get to see is the canned version, the Paramount theatrical Hollywood version of a sanitized war. There's no such thing. It's death, it's destruction, it's mayhem of gothic proportions. Gothic proportions. You will have to almost kill your human senses in order to just exist and deal with it. When you're home, there is no recess and come back after the bombing. It's over. You are relegated now as a refugee to roam for years and years and years. Because if the pattern holds true, after the destruction comes the massive years of humiliation, where you are cut off and not allowed the common and basic human decencies. Not in my name, you don't. I don't want it. No. That's what we're dealing with today. Period. And you know, God is great and way ahead of everything that anyone tries to do. Because the most graphic descriptions of fear and anger and disgust and contempt is not coming from the citizens of Lebanon. It's coming from citizens of other countries saying, how dare they go so far? How dare they go so far? And it's coming from those citizens also who say to those who initiate from the other side, you didn't ask our permission to do this. Why do we have to pay the price for what someone else is doing? I'm not trying to settle the issue. I'm just calling us to our own conscious position. Where do we stand? Yes, it started. Someone started it. Yes, it happened. Someone made it happen. Yes, it's going on. But we sit in this country, and our president and our administrations in this country, of which we are citizens, taxpaying, voting citizens, sit idly by and say nothing and do nothing. When the whole world knows that if there's anyone that can bring this thing to a halt, put it into some measurable parameters, it is this nation that we sit in. And don't you know that as we had the Ard, the Thamud, the Pharaoh, and all of the rest of, don't you know that we are not exempt from the circumstances that are being carried out with our support and in our name? You better go on record with more than your heart, as stating how you really feel about what's going on. After this khutbah today, I hold myself accountable to contact my congressman, my senator, and let them know that this voting taxpaying individual want them to speak to him to stop that. There it is. That's within my power. That's within my grasp. That's within my right. And within yours as well. Or you can say, we'll just let it happen till it's over with. And we'll sit at our coffee shops and we'll complain and we'll talk about it. But I've seen people, and many of you have seen people, and the results thereof. In fact, some of you, a great number of you, have come from conditions of which I speak. So don't get so comfortable now and so afraid of losing your comfort and your place at the table that you forget the people you left behind and the conditions that you know exist. Don't you forget. Don't you dare forget. Don't you dare sit up here and act like you don't know. Because we don't have that right. God commands us to speak out against the wrong. If I'm fighting a child because that child hit me, hurt me, did something to me, and I'm beating that child and I'm a grown man, and I've gone beyond defending myself against the aggression of this child, now I'm pulverizing this child. I'm stomping it with my work boots and my steel-toed boots. I'm poking its eyes out. I'm burning his house down. What do I look like? I look like a monster. And everything that I cry about, all of my legitimacy has now become illegitimate. Why? Because I'm showing my hand. I'm showing a side of me that says, how could you? How could you go so far? Why would you go so far when there are other means at your disposal? Stop this. So, I know I came to talk about the trip to Africa, but you know, I think I flew over that region getting to Africa, so I'm just going over that region again, and just I'll have to say what Allah has put on my heart to say. You know, we plan and Allah plans, and surely Allah is the best of planners, and this thing has really hurt my heart. It has disturbed me. It has disturbed me. And you know, again, I think because of this journey to Africa and seeing the results and seeing the carnage and seeing how things, not the carnage firsthand, but seeing the results of it and realizing, boy, how hard it can be on people. I'm not speaking for the military forces. Let them do as military forces do on each other. If that's what it's got to take. I'm talking about the innocent here. I'm talking about the innocent here. I'm talking about the non-combatants. I'm talking about those who are injured in hospitals. I'm talking about those children and old people and women and the weak. That's who I'm talking about. That's who I'm talking about. My God, I can't just sit by and act like I don't see that when God has made it so that we see the whole world in the twinkling of an eye from any angle that we want to see it.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
You've been listening to the weekly broadcast of An Islamic Point of View. Today featuring a very inspirational lecture from Imam Mikhail Shabazz concerning the current situation there in the Middle East with Lebanon and the aggression of the state of Israel. We ask you to stay tuned now for Pathways. And we would like to read a message from this radio station, KBOO, which is underwritten and supported by listener supporters like yourself. And this program, KBOO, has been made possible in part by our KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Tarot.com, an online resource for original horoscopes and astrology. Tarot reading, the I Ching, Tarot readings, the I Ching, and numerology. For more information is available at tarot.com. That's tarot.com. Now we invite you to stay tuned for Pathways.